The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
As we wait for the coming of the Feast of Pentecost, today we're going to look into what I consider to be a very important aspect of this holy day. As believers, it should be evident to all of us that the Holy Spirit has been at work throughout mankind's history, as well as in the redemption of mankind. We're not going to look at this particular aspect that I'm going to mention now. We're not going to look into this topic today. But the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. The Holy Spirit, as well, has been involved in both revelation and sanctification. In a recent sermon, we looked into the working of the Holy Spirit. We entitled that sermon, How the Holy Spirit Works in Our Lives. And by the way, a point of reference here, a point of information is, this is an area where there are many different points of view about how the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit works in our lives. So if you want to review that sermon, it is on our internet. It's already there. And if you didn't hear it, it's there. You can hear it for the first time. In this teaching today, we will look into another aspect of God's Holy Spirit. Let me start by asking all of us a question, and that is, are you aware that even long before Jesus came, God had already begun making promises about the Holy Spirit? If you say, yes, I am, could you list some of those promises? Could you talk about some of those places? If you didn't know that, wouldn't you want to know that? I think that we would want to know that. Now, before we actually get into this particular topic, and we will be seeing this topic today, I'd like for you to go with me to, I think, a very familiar passage to most all of us, and that's in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Begin reading in verse 16, John 14 in verse 16. Jesus Christ is speaking, and he said, "And I will pray," or "I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he," and it is it, I will read the he because it's too confusing to do that, "and he," the Holy Spirit, "may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Now drop down to verse 26. He's saying, "I'm going to send another comforter, and it's with you now, Parakletos, walking alongside to help." But he says, "but it's going to be in you." Then dropping down to verse 26, "but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit," so we know what Jesus Christ is talking about, "which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, as I stated before, God began making promises about the sending of, the coming of the Holy Spirit, even prior to the first coming of Jesus Christ. And so I think it's interesting if we would look at this. And so let's begin to look at this aspect of God's Spirit, and we're going to begin looking at it in the Old Testament. Please go with me to the book of Joel. In Joel chapter 2, in verse 28, we begin Joel 2, verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, before he comes. And so we see the time setting of what Joel is prophesying. It's at the end. It's the end time. This is what he's saying. Verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. Two words, two phrases that are connected with, through various ways, talking about the church. It is also talking about the city of Jerusalem as well in various places, but I think this is referring to the church. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord will call. Now we're looking here at the book of Joel, which is way back in the Old Testament. In fact, let's remember that this book was written about 800 to 750 B.C., some 700 to 800 years before the first coming of Jesus Christ. And here is already talking about, prophesying about, I'm going to pour out my spirit. It's already been talked about way back then. Now what I want us to take a look at is, I'd like to take a look at some of the basics that we see in this prophecy of Joel. One is, we see the spirit being poured out on all flesh. That's what it says. Verse 28, it also says, sons and daughters of Israel prophesying, and Israel's young men and old men seeing visions and dreaming dreams. But we also notice that in all four of those terms, all four of those, sons, daughters, young men, old men, all of them are saying, you're. So it's talking to a very specific group of people in one sense, those that are called, those that are heeding it. So he's talking to people that have done this, that have received it. So it is a prophecy that is stating before it's ever happened, as if that it has happened, and it's going to be poured out upon them also. The second thing that we see that is in verse 29, it says that God's Spirit is being poured out upon his men servants and maid servants, and they're prophesying. Now, a question that I have here is this including the Gentiles? Is this a prophecy showing us that a time is coming that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out upon you, who are the, and your sons and daughters, who are the people of God, but it is also going to come a time when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon those who are your servants, meaning the Gentiles? And here's the thing. This prophecy began being fulfilled on the day of Pentecost after Jesus' ascension, when it was poured out on Jesus' disciples and the apostles. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Acts 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared upon them, them meaning all those who received the outpouring on that time, at this time of the Holy Spirit, it says, and it appeared upon them cloven tongues as like as a fire, and it set upon each one of them. Now, I find this interesting because there's no indication that it came and there it was and that it ended. Is it possible that while Peter and the rest of the apostles are standing up and speaking, because it says, and then Peter stood up and he addressed all the people, that they were seeing this fiery things up on top of his head, somewhat like, I don't know if it was a crown or what it was, but is that possible that they were still seeing it? Because the people were seeing it. I find it an interesting question to either consider that, that they saw this and it continued there at least for some time. I don't know that. It's a question. I'm asking it without knowing the answer. In verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so here we see the Holy Spirit enable the apostles to speak in such a way that others there who are hearing them, who normally would speak other languages, could understand it in their language, whether it was in the speaking or whether it was in the hearing. There's two different ways of looking at it, because the way it states, and then there are other verses, it looks as if that they heard it in their language and the apostles spoke their normal way. I don't know which one it is. I mean, I can tell you what the scripture says, but I don't know because it actually looks two different ways, which I find that interesting in itself. But it was all the working of the Holy Spirit having been poured out. That was the thing. You can see what I was referring to, how they understood the words, was in Acts 2, verses 4 through 13. Not going to read those. We also see that Peter, when he stands up and speaks, ties the events of this day of Pentecost with Joel's prophecy. He ties it directly into that. Now, I'm going to tell you, over the years, there have been some who have said, well, he didn't know what he was talking about. I think he knew exactly what he was talking about. And I think the reason that he knew exactly what he was talking about, because he understood something that I don't think the church understood until more recently. And that was, we didn't always teach, because we didn't always understand it in the church, that the last days actually began back then with Jesus Christ. We are in the last days. And this is what Peter is saying. This is what Joel is talking about. In the latter days, in the last days. We are in the last days and have been in the last days since the time of Jesus Christ. And so when Peter ties this in, I think he is correct. I think he is correct when he says that. Go with me to chapter 2. This is Acts chapter 2 and verse 15. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by Joel the prophet. And then you can go on and you can read all of these verses. I'm not going to read all of this, but he says that it shall come to pass in the last days when God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh and your sons and your daughters and your old men and your young men. And this is what he says. He's repeating exactly what Joel said. And you can see this going all the way down to verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he's basically restating Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, which is the verses that I read to show that the Old Testament had already promised the coming of the Holy Spirit before the coming of Jesus Christ. I think for us to really understand the entire ramifications of all of this for us today, it would take a lot more scriptures putting it all together, but I would like to suffice it to say that it began on Pentecost even as we are now in the last days. This pouring out in mass started on the day of Pentecost, as Joel had stated that it was going to. Let's go back to the Old Testament again. This time I want to see something in the book of Isaiah. And this, of course, was written somewhere around 780 to 692 B.C., all many, many, many years, hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Isaiah 44, beginning in verse 3. Isaiah 44, beginning in verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon your offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, meaning I belong to God. I'm part of Israel. I belong to God. This is what he's saying. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. So let's see some things about points about this particular prophecy. The first one we see is it says God pouring his spirit upon Israel's descendants. That's verse 3. We can see that the promise of the Holy Spirit is connected with water, as it says, that is given to him who is thirsty, and it's tied into John chapter 7. So now let's go to John 7 and verse 37, John 7 and verse 37. Again, this is Jesus Christ speaking. In the last day, that great day of the feast. Now, this is talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. This is not talking about Pentecost, but he's giving the time framing of when more of this is going to be taking place, again, upon more people. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So here even Jesus is talking about that back in Isaiah, when he's telling about this, the pouring out of the waters, here Jesus is standing for the last day, and he's coming to me, and he says, and this is what we're going to do. It is going to happen. He's even telling, prophesying that it's going to happen because it hadn't even yet happened. Let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 32, because there's another prophecy that might relate to the promise of the Holy Spirit. But I want us to read it because I think that it is much stronger than it might be. I think particularly that it is, but I'm putting it in that way. Isaiah 32 and verse 1, just to read the first verse here to get a point. "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ and those under him ruling with him. Now, drop down to verse 15. You can read all the way down through it and see even more of it, but I'm getting down to the point. This is in Isaiah 32 and verse 15. "Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field." Verse 17. "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever." Now, in verse 1, I read that verse because I believe this verse appears to have a messianic reference, the time of the messianic age, Jesus Christ ruling, reigning, this kind of thing. Then what we see, it says the result of this pouring out of the Holy Spirit is justice and righteousness and peace. Now, with that in mind, go to Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Romans 14 and verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So this is why I say that I believe that it is during the time of the Messianic Age, and I do believe it is talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at that time. Okay, let's go to the next prophecy that I want to show of the outpouring of the Spirit of God prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, and this time it's in the book of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. Now, Ezekiel was written about 593 to 570 B.C. Again, between 500 to 600 years before the coming of Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. There are two major points, two major elements here that we see about God's spirit from this particular prophecy in these two verses. The first one is God promises to put his spirit within you. That's talking about an indwelling. Now, you remember, Jesus said, I'm going to go away, because if I don't, then I can't send the Comforter. And the Comforter that is with you shall be in you. And so here this prophecy is saying the time is coming when it is going to be an indwelling. The time is going to be in you. And the second one is that it will cause, in other words, it will enable believers to walk in God's statutes and to keep his judgments. Romans 8 and verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you are debtors, through the Holy Spirit, do mortify, do put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. And it's not my point to show you, but you go on and see, he's talking about and shall live. He's talking about eternal life. Now go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And so again, here's this talking about that the Holy Spirit is going to be dwelling in you. Dwelling in you. Now, that's what Ezekiel is saying. That's what Jesus told the disciples that was going to happen. And then what we see is on the day of Pentecost, that is what happened. That is what happened. And so Paul is speaking about that, that the Spirit, that his spirit will dwell in the inner man. There's another prophecy that also might relate to the promise of the Spirit back in Ezekiel. So let's go back to Ezekiel, this time chapter 39. Ezekiel 39 and verse 29. Ezekiel 39 and verse 29. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. So this is a prophecy that I think is even still yet to take place. The church of God is not the entirety of what he's referring to here, you know, as the whole of Israel. Because what we see is a prophecy that looks beyond the captivity, because at the time of the writing, Israel, divided nation, the northern tribe, Israel, they were in captivity. And Judah was going to be going into captivity. So it looking beyond the captivity, and it is looking on to the time of the restoration of the nation of Israel when they are brought back out of a future even captivity. And so it is not going to be fulfilled until the coming of the Messiah, the second coming. Okay, now I want to go back to the Old Testament and look at another prophecy, promise of the giving of the Holy Spirit. And this time it's back in Zechariah. In Zechariah, which was written about 520 to 480 BC. again, 400 or 500 years before the first coming of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Zechariah 12 and verse 10. On many of these Old Testament verses that I'm reading, I could have read several verses to get a bigger point, but I'm picking out just the primarily scriptures that is referring to the outpouring, the giving of, or whatever, the promise that I'm talking about of the giving of the Holy Spirit even prior to Jesus Christ coming. Verse 10, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him." Some translations say "for him," meaning me, Jesus. "They have pierced, and they're going to look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn," meaning what they have done to me. It's not the way it reads in the English, especially in the King James. But this is what I think that more accurate is referring to. "As one mourns for his only son and shall be in bitterness for him," or over him, because of what they did to him, "as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." So let's see some points about this particular prophecy. The first thing we see is the spirit of grace and supplication to be poured out upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And as a result of that, that will stimulate the people to look upon Jesus whom they have feared, and they will mourn because of him or because what they have done to him. Now, there's nobody alive today that actually was there that pierced Jesus Christ. We understand that. But we all did. We all did. And this is what he's saying. The time is coming, and this is an end of age again type of prophecy, that the people are going to look out there and they're going to realize, I caused the death of Jesus Christ by my sins, by my actions, by my life. And we've all done that. We've all gone through that. We've already seen this, but this is a prophecy saying it is going to happen. Go with me again back to the book of Acts chapter 2. The words of Peter. Acts 2 verse 32. "This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this," he has given forth this Holy Spirit, "which you now see and hear." You're seeing the demonstration of it, and this is another reason why I'm saying, are they seeing these flames of fires? He says, "which you now see and hear." I don't know that's what it means, but I have it as a question. Verse 34, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit you on my right hand until I make your foes your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" And so it is a stimulation when the Holy Spirit is there. It stimulates the people to look to Jesus Christ, whom they pierced, whom they crucified, and mourn as a result of what they've done to him. And there here is an example of that, even though we read verses looking even to the end of the age when this is going to happen. Now, I want you to think about this with me for a moment. Even if the prophecies that we read in Ezekiel and Zechariah, even if they may be questionable to be a promise that would be fulfilled in the Messianic age, without a doubt, surely the prophecies that we read that are in Joel and Isaiah demonstrate that God did promise the outpouring of the Spirit in a very special way, even though if these others may not be, even though I personally think they are, but there is some question about it. I personally think they tell me that it is. But we certainly can see that there are Old Testament prophecies that are stating that it's pretty straightforward. Okay, now with that information in mind, let's take a look at the promise of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. I want to start by looking at something that was stated by John the Baptist. We know that John spoke about one who was coming that would baptize you with water and the Holy Spirit. And he also says, and by fire. That's a totally different subject I'm not going to address in this sermon today. But go with me to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. I'm going to show you two or three different places in the gospel where this is actually recorded for us. Matthew 3 and verse 11. This is John the Baptist. You can go back and see it. That is the one who's doing the speaking. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, others say, to even kneel down and to unlace his sandals, is really what he's saying. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So we see John the Baptist is saying, he's going to do this. He's going to do this. Mark 1, verse 7, and preaching, saying, there came one mightier than I after me, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke 3 and verse 16, there's again, and then also in John 1:33. I'm not going to read all of those, but those are other places that he says the same thing. It's the same account. So John said that he would baptize in water unto repentance, and that there was one who was coming who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. And of course, he was referring to Jesus Christ. We also know that this promise was made to large crowds, that it would be made available to them. We know that again back in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Not going to read it. We saw that earlier. But we see that it is tied to the events of Pentecost, this outpouring of the Spirit to larger groups of people is tied to Pentecost. And we see that it is also tied to the words, the commands that were spoken by Jesus Christ in chapter 1 of Acts. So let's go to Acts chapter 1 with me. Go to Acts chapter 1 in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, this is talking about Jesus, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. In other words, you've heard about it because in John 14, he told them about it. Remember that? He said, I'm going to go away and he's going to send you another comforter. Verse 26 says, and that comforter is the Holy Spirit. And he says, and you've heard this of me. Here in Acts chapter 1, now in verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So they were going to receive this promise that was talked about in the Old Testament of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was now going to dwell in them and was going to lead them and those kinds of things. Okay, now what I'd like for us to look at is some of the teachings of Jesus on this particular topic, what he actually said. Jesus said the Spirit would be given to those who would ask the Heavenly Father for it. That's in Luke 11 and verse 13. Let's go there. Luke 11 and verse 13. The parallel account of that is in Matthew 7. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so we see Jesus Christ saying, this is part of the way and how you receive it, is you ask for it. You ask for it. Then the next thing that we see about the teachings of Jesus is that the Spirit would give those who are thirsty living waters. Living waters. And if they come to him in faith, and then they drink. We read that earlier. That's in John 7, verses 37 through 39. We read that. But here I'm tying it into the direct teachings of Jesus Christ. But let me ask a question here. We know the answer, but I want to put it in the form of a question just to think about it this way. Do you think this living waters is the same thing, probably the gift of God that Jesus had referenced earlier? So let's go back earlier in the book of John, this time to John 4, John chapter 4 and verse 10, John 4 and verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, this is, we know this account, but we see it in this context, I find it interesting. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living waters. So you think that's the promise, that the gift of God is, which he refers to here as the living waters? Do you think that's talking about the Holy Spirit? The answer is, of course it is. Of course it is. He was telling her that you ask, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask, and you would be given these living waters. And it goes on because the account is interesting here when you think about this. Verse 11, and a woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. And that's where the world is. They look and they go, well, who are you? You don't know anything. You don't have anything that you can offer to me. You know, why should I believe what you are teaching? And the well is drink. From which are you going to get this living waters? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Interesting question. Which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto, whosoever drinks of this water, of the well of this water, this physical water, will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. He kind of puts it all together and telling this woman the whole details. Yet it goes right over the head of so many people. They don't really see it. They don't understand it. And if you don't think what I'm saying is true, go on Google and search these verses and ask questions, you know, what do the people teach that this is saying? And it's not teaching what we say. There are going to be some that's going to say some of this, but there are teachings out there that do not agree with this. Right over their head. Right over their head. I want you to recall the comparison of the Spirit to the water back in Isaiah's prophecy. We read it, but I want to reread it. You've already got it in your notes. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. Okay, let's go to the next thing, teachings of Jesus on this topic. Jesus told his apostles to wait in Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Father. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued, or until you be clothed with power from on high. Jesus clearly connects this to the baptism of the saints spoken of by John. The next thing I want to show about Jesus is the apostles would receive power and be eyewitnesses. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Acts 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and into Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. We'll come back to some of this and tie it together in a little bit. The next thing I want us to look at is that Peter speaking about the promise of the Holy Spirit. The first thing I want to show you is that on Pentecost, Peter ties the outpouring of the Spirit to the prophecy of Joel. We saw that earlier. Primarily this in Acts 2 and verse 16. And Joel 2, when I gave you all of those verses 28 through 32. The second thing about Peter that I want to show you is that Peter also spoke of the outpouring of the Spirit as a promise Jesus received from the Father. Acts 2, verse 33. Acts 2, verse 33. We read it, but I want to read it again because it's draw it to our mind. Therefore, being at the right hand of the Father exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. The next one dealing with Peter is Peter also speaks about the gift of the Spirit to all who repent and are baptized. And that's in Acts 2:38. Remember verse 37, they were pricked in their hearts and said, so what do we do about this? Remember I said that we'll do that. The Holy Spirit will prompt, you know, things. And now here in verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they keep telling us more and more things that are necessary to the receiving of it. Okay, then the next thing I'm going to share about Peter is that Peter says the promise is unto them and on even to others. That's in verse 39, the very next verse. For the promise is unto you, this is speaking to those who are hearing it, the promise is unto you and to your children, that's later, people even after you, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord your God shall call. He's talking also to us. So this tied it in, Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to the end time as well. This is how I said we know that we're in the last days because Peter just tied it into it. It's to you and to your children, which would be immediate, and to those that are afar off, to however many people down the time later that God calls. Well, that's us. So let me ask some questions here about what Peter is saying. I want to ask it in a question because it makes us think about it and kind of organize it, I think, in our mind. The first question is, what promise do you think Peter has in mind? A second question, what promise do you think would have immediately come to the mind of those who were hearing him? A third question, is it the promise that he had just alluded to? And the answer is, of course. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. They would have understood it being the Holy Spirit also because they understood the prophecies from the Old Testament that it was going to come. They didn't understand it from the Old Testament, but seeing it, they saw it, they heard it. This is what Peter is saying. They're not drunk. This is what you know. You know from the Old Testament, from the Bible, that's all they had was the Old Testament, that this is what it's referring to. It would have been the promise Jesus received, and now that promise is being poured out by him, by Jesus Christ. Acts 2, verse 33, we read that. Let's read it again. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, he has sent forth this, he has given forth this Holy Spirit, and this is what you are seeing and hearing. So that's what he was talking about. And it's pretty clear when you see it in that context. Also, another thing to realize is that it is the promise of the Spirit that Jesus himself promised to believers. He had promised this to believers. We've read it. I'm not going to read it again, but that's in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. That's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the water, on the last great day. of the Feast of Tabernacles, and then the last day, the eighth day of the feast, what is he referring to? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the end of the age. So we've seen this promise of the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament. We saw that it came on the Feast of Pentecost, and some received it. And they were told, and you can receive it, and your children can receive it, and those who are far, afar off, as many as the Lord God calls. And we are seeing, and on the last day, that great day of the feast, which is pictured by the last great day, which occurs after the end of the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. So it's going to be poured out then. So this Holy Spirit has been promised way back, all the way through, and there have been some who have received it now until that time when the masses are going to have it available, and they're going to be able to ask for it. Because that's what it tells us. That's what it says. So we see the gift of the Holy Spirit is offered to all, meaning both Jew and Gentile, who accept the call of God. The Holy Spirit has been promised in both the Old Testament as well as the New Testament to those who will receive God's calling and accept His way of life. Now, here are a few things that we can learn about the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus made to his disciples about the promised Spirit of truth. There are several things that I think that we can receive from looking at this. Because what we need to understand and think about and realize is we are his disciples today. Because I showed it was already from way back to Pentecost and then to those who are far off. And this is spoken to his disciples. One is the Holy Spirit would be a helper and abide with them. Let me just give you some verses and you can read these on your own. I can read all of these, but you can read them on your own. And that's in John 14, verse 16 through 17. We read that. So it would be a helper and would abide with them. The second one is that it would bring to their remembrance all things that Jesus had taught them. That's John 14, verse 26. And that Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, will do this. Another one, it says that it will bear witness of Jesus Christ, and so are his disciples, it says, to bear witness of Jesus Christ. That's in John 15, verse 26 and 27. We didn't read those verses, but you can read that on your own. John 15, verse 26 and 27. Another one, we talked about this in the sermon before, about the work of the Holy Spirit, and that is that it will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. That's in John 16, verses 7 through 11. The next one, the Holy Spirit would guide believers into all truth, including things to come, even to truths and understanding that are not even yet known until he reveals it. He gives it until the Father gives it. Jesus Christ gives it. John 16, verses 12 and 13. So it will guide believers into all truth, including things that are even yet to come, meaning things to come, meaning the understandings that are to come. John 16, verses 12 and 13. And I have one more of those, and that the Spirit will glorify Jesus by talking about what Jesus is doing and declaring or showing it unto them, them meaning to the believers, to the disciples, to the followers of Jesus Christ. And thus, John 16 and verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So I think as we can see, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is very important to all of mankind. Whether they know it, whether they realize it now is not really the point. We see that on the last great day, it's going to be poured out to all of those people, be made available. So in other words, I think that we could say that mankind needs their day of Pentecost to be fully come when the Spirit is made available to them all. I'm not saying it's going to come to them on the day of Pentecost. I'm just saying the church received it on the day of Pentecost, but they need their, quote, day of Pentecost, if you see how I'm saying that. But brother, what about us today? What about us? Well, we need to understand that for baptized believers, we have been, and I'm using the right word, anointed now. We have been anointed now with God's Holy Spirit. In other words, the promise has come upon us. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. I'm going to read this out of the New American Standard Bible. Verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. The Holy One here is Jesus Christ. You have an anointing from Jesus Christ, and you know all. It is meaning you have all truth available to you. That's not what the words say, but that's the sense of what the word is saying. You have been anointed by Jesus Christ, and you have the availability of all truth to you. That's the essence of what is being said here. Now, with that in mind, you can read all of the other verses, but drop down to verse 27. As for you, the anointing which you received from him, from Jesus Christ, abides in you. So this anointing is the Holy Spirit. I mean, so I said I'm using the right word here. It is the right word. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide or you continue in Jesus Christ. So he's saying, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the availability of all truth to you. You continue in that. You continue in Jesus Christ. So I think a major question that we need to ask ourselves is are we using God's Spirit as God intended for it to be used in us? I think, brethren, that it is a question for each one of us to consider as we look forward to the coming Feast of Pentecost. And the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And that happens through the Holy Spirit.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111. Tampa, Florida, 33689.